Ever since Alibaba founder Jack Ma coined the term new retail, there has been a lot of discussion about the business model and its market potential. Many leading businesses have also actively pursued growth strategies down that path. However, if you follow the news, you will realize there are still doubts about the future of new retail. Yes, I mean, this is a big business concept and it's gaining traction here in China, but let's talk about it. What is new retail? And of course, old retail should be mentioned here too. Lai Ming.
Well, of course, I would summarize new retail as a way of, or as a business model that advocates two-way traffic between online and offline factors of market. I mean, back a few years ago, we see business people often talk about O2O, online to offline, this business model. But this new retail really emphasizes on two-way traffic. This is not just you go online, you buy stuff that's available offline, that sort of thing. But you can also go offline and sort of use online services to have the business have the transaction completed. So Jack Ma coined the term in a speech about a business model accessing all sales channels and O2O retail. And also this, you have to mention this concept of traditional retail or the old retail, and that means sales conducted in brick and mortar stores. So say if you need a couple of batteries and you go to a supermarket nearby, and that's how you do stuff, how you get stuff. And this new concept of online retail, sometimes with the advent of Taobao or eBay overseas, you sometimes find cheaper bargains over the internet, and that's a relatively newer term. But the latest term would be the new retail. So the two channels can sell vastly different commodities to avoid competition. That was before the age of new retail. Sometimes when you feel like buying something, for instance batteries, that may not be a very good example, because you can get them at a supermarket, brick and mortar supermarket, or online. But there are items specifically sold at offline locations back in a few years ago. For instance, bulky items like household appliances, a washing machine or a refrigerator, those kind of things you don't want to buy online, because back then transportation was really expensive. So it was not immediately available online. And like I said, there's a distinction. There's a wall between these two channels. And new retail really is all about breaking the wall between traditional and online retail and making all commodities available on both channels. So nowadays, with the advent of new retail, sometimes when you go to Taobao, and those especially Tmall, you can find the flagship stores of, say, Suning or even appliance makers, Gree or Changhong, all those commodities manufacturers. You can buy them online. And actually, what's interesting is there's a combination, there's a cooperation between Tmall and Suning or other locations. They will accommodate the transportation for you. And so I would say new retail really is about restructuring of things. It's not a combination, an immediate combination of offline stores and online services, but it's a restructuring of the services in terms of warehouses, in terms of storage inventory, and also delivery services.
Well, what do you think about this new business model that has, well, actually been developing here in China for a couple of years, I suppose, in China? Tony?
Well, personally, I'm a big fan of going into the shops. I like to touch and feel what I'm going to be buying. But the idea of having something, well, sent to me, and I'm a bit reluctant about it, honestly. I know that Amazon just recently purchased Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. Actually, that was last year. And the idea of trying to order food online, for me, it didn't really resonate. But since I have an idea of what Whole Foods is like and going there and actually knowing the quality of the products, and I think that that's important. It's actually pretty clever on their part, where you know, the customer can go in and get a feel for, you know, the products, and then you don't really need to go in and pick everything up by hand. So I think this idea is a bit of a transition where you know, as a customer, where the traditional customer likes to go in and see things in person. And then I think with time, after you become, you know, you get some type of brand loyalty, then you could start ordering things online. And I think that's pretty much what we're seeing here, where, you know, you're appealing to a lot of people who may not like the idea of ordering things online, and yeah, coming in, touching, feeling, and then eventually once they get your loyalty, then just order everything online, which is kind of what I do now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you sort of get educated and used to this kind of shopping. And me as a cavewoman, yeah, I've learned my way, so to speak, in the last few years. But like Tony said, I do think that, especially for those bulky home appliances, for example, you kind of need to see the thing and get a feel of how big it is. Although online there is the exact measurements that is available, but
do you ever understand the measurements, like the size?
Well, if I really have to, then I'll get the roll up ruler out and try to measure the space in my home.
It's too much work.
Yeah, but you still don't know exactly what it's about. But the great thing about online is that you can see the comments and rating from other customers, and so you can get a better understanding of user satisfaction, and also you can compare the prices. And then going into the brick and mortar store, I think it's better that way, that now you can touch and feel, and so you get the best of both sides, so to speak. But yeah, like some people, like Liming and some of our lovely colleagues, the part that I think that separates us from them is that they almost can solely rely on just doing everything online.
I almost feel like for individuals who do everything online, perhaps they haven't had a bad experience. I mean, for me personally, I've ordered shoes online, and which is a big no-no. And you get the shoes and they're either too big or too small, or they hurt the minute you put them on. And like, what about something like a mattress, for example? I mean, I don't care what you say, if you can get 5 stars, 10 stars, but you know, you really need to sit down on that mattress and feel the material before you buy it. Otherwise, you're gonna spend a lot of money on something, and you know, sending it back is a bit of a hassle.
That's true, and that's the reason why, unlike He Yang just mentioned earlier, I'm not exactly a guy that sort of relies on the internet for everything.
When I go shopping, I thought I knew you.
When I go shopping for, say, a fridge, I have to sort of visit one of those locations by Suning, and I have to talk to a sales representative. I have to find out whether this is the best choice for me and whether there are other options. And I know doing homework on a cell phone, that could help you get all the necessary information, but that doesn't necessarily help you or doesn't necessarily save your time in finding out other options. Whereas an expert or a sales representative who's been trained to know these ins and outs about the stuff in his store, he will be able to tell you all about it. And so I still appreciate that kind of service. But overall, the general tendency or the general way to go forward is that people are relying more and more on their smartphones. Mm-hmm. And those companies have made it much easier for them to do that. Just now, Tony just mentioned an example of Amazon buying Whole Foods, which is the combination of two very famous brands together. And that sort of wings the confidence of consumers. Likewise, here in China, we have an example that's Alibaba's Hema supermarkets, where they sell fresh produce and seafood, and among other things, of course, and also promise 30-minute delivery to Hema app users living nearby. So what we see with Hema supermarkets is not one of those traditional brick-and-mortar supermarkets where a location is crucial. You have to find the best spot to sort of burrow down so you can get the best traffic, the most customers. Whereas for a high-profile company like Alibaba, it already has a large following over the internet. And sometimes when they choose the locations, they don't necessarily have to go for the hotspots. Sometimes they deliberately go for a shopping center that is struggling financially. And they will move in, and then will instead attract a lot of followings into the supermarket. Sometimes they revive the entire shopping center.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And there is a fundamental difference between how this kind of new retail supermarket picks a spot, as opposed to traditionally where a supermarket finds its top location. Because traditionally, you would want to be like in a business district, or you want to be in a shopping area. So therefore, you're guaranteed traffic. But like Liming said, with this new retail kind of supermarket, as they pick location, it's fundamental that they need to, it's easy for them to deliver, I feel.
So, it is.
So if you just pick like a really busy residential area, then that makes sense, because you don't necessarily need people to come in all the time, because you get all these orders online, but you need to make it easy to deliver. And also, if those people in the residential area can, you know, sort of just walk in and have a good time. So there is a really different idea about where to set up shop. And actually, we have mentioned that it's Jack Ma that has come up with this idea or made it popular, but it's not just Alibaba that's doing this. Now, industry heavyweights like Jingdong, JD.com has moved in as well, and lots of capital is pouring in. So what about that part of the development?
Well, JD.com announced in April 2017 that it planned to open 1 million convenience stores, half of which will be in rural areas. And during the Double 11 shopping festival in 2017, JD deployed more than 5,000 electrical appliance stores across the country and over 1,700 service stations in county-level cities to handle ordering, delivery, repairs, and returns. This allowed JD to penetrate deeper into smaller cities previously neglected by internet giants due to lack of logistics infrastructure. And JD is also working with grocery store owner Yonghui to offer services similar to Alibaba's Hema supermarket. So they sell fresh food, processed food, and other perishable products. They are the mainstay of Yonghui's businesses at its 477 locations. Back in the, I think a few years back when I was living in the older apartment, there was this Yonghui supermarket nearby, and they were doing a major renovation project. And after the renovation, they started this new Chaoji Wuzhong, this a different brand that sort of that's similar to Hema. And so that's where you get better fresh produce and better seafood or steaks. And sometimes they even have chairs and tables set up for you, so you can. They have people there to cook for you. So when you order steak, when you enjoy what you look at, when you place an order for that, they cook it for you and bring it to your table. So that sort of the experience, the enhanced experience of shopping, really is the way to go forward. I think there's one more point I missed to mention earlier about Hema supermarket. And so the business model behind Hema is really all about shopping online. Actually, online sales accounts for 60% of all the sales volumes of Hema supermarkets, whereas the storefront for Hema, they are simply meant as demonstration centers.
Showrooms.
For people to go. Yeah, showrooms. Yeah.
Okay, so there are people that walk in and order the steak, but there's also people who come in and... So the in-store traffic, is that not necessarily that big of a deal?
40% for Hema supermarket.
So there are still people that are buying in the store, then?
In the store, yes. But think of it as more like an Apple store, where you go and just window shopping, whereas you can totally shop online and place an order on the website or with other telecom service providers. You can totally get the service online.
So actually, there... Tony, you had something to say.
No, I just like you mentioned, when people come in, they can go in and they can talk to, you know, the chef or the person who's preparing the meat, and there's an experience that's involved here.
There is an experience, yes.
And I feel like, you know, when, you know, as far as brick and mortar stores, that it's almost like part of the, you know, social fabric of our society. And in a way, if I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon, because I feel like it would just, you know, completely change the dynamics of shopping in general.
But actually, if you look into history, this supermarket thing was incredibly popular back, let's say, 20 years ago, when it sort of first entered the Chinese market. People were swarming into the supermarkets to get the latest products, the fresh produce.
Yeah.
And to this day, people are still swarming into supermarkets. And the elderly people, they are struggling for fresh produce that are up for grabs. You have to sort of know what to what you want to go for, and you have to. This certainly is a competition. You have to survive the crowd. You have to know. So all of a sudden, this, I wouldn't say the business model is outdated, but certainly people's demand have changed a lot. I mean, if you look at the products being made available at Hema supermarkets, you realize they are certainly of better quality and certainly more expensive.
Whereas, better quality? How do you know that all the time, though? Because sometimes, okay, the great thing about going to a brick-and-mortar store or the fresh market is that you can actually see fresh fruit, vegetables, get a touch and feel of it. And you can see the fresh dew that's still shining on the...
I know.
Rolling on the leaves of vegetables. Uh-huh. And you can see that I want that cabbage instead of the other one because... it looks fatter and it's like juicier, but you don't get that experience when you're shopping online. And you're assuming that whatever brand it is will just send you the best or the available vegetables.
Which is why Alibaba thought it's important that they have this demonstration center in those storefronts, places where you can shop and see the stuff that you are going to buy online.
Yes, but okay, guys, why do you think that these e-commerce giants... they've really made waves online, but now why are they sort of wanting to move offline? What is the business thinking behind that?
In my personal opinion, I feel that, you know, a lot of, with the online success with, you know, a lot of products, they're seeing that still people are still wanting to come in and make purchases in person. And like you mentioned earlier, when customers come into a shop, they like to touch and feel things, but I think there's another element. I also feel that people like to take things away, immediate gratification. A lot of times when you buy something, you're able to take it away at that time. Well, when you buy things online, sometimes you have to wait days and unfortunately weeks depending on the product. So, you know, I think that there's this element too where people like to come in and they like to see and get whatever it is they want at that moment. And I think that's definitely something that's, you know, that they're considering with these brick and mortar stores.
Yeah, the demand is always there. I mean, a larger crowd of customers still choose to remain offline. According to China's National Administration of Statistics, the sales volume of online retailing makes up nearly 12.6% of all retail businesses in China in 2017. And by some estimate, the 2018 figure was 17.5%. So that means 82.5% of people are still going to those offline stores to do their grocery shopping. Also, if you couple that with the changing tendencies in the tech industry, the online business is becoming saturated. According to a story on tech news website Huxiu, the cost of getting an extra online customer may reach 500 yuan. And that was the figure last year when we talk about this issue. And so I imagine the cost must have climbed much higher than that. And really, if you look at the history of China's tech industry in China, it's been a couple of years, and those people who are supposed to enjoy doing the shopping online, they already have their account set up either at Alibaba or at other websites. So, and now it's making it harder and harder to get a new customer coming in. Actually, if you look at Alipay, the payment tool that's developed by Alibaba, you see very attractive deals being tended to you when you can invite your friend to join Alipay. So you can see the cost of getting a new customer to those applications, to this online way of lifestyle, is really getting more expensive. That's why that's motivated many tech giants to move offline.
That makes total sense, because when you think about it, I'm a cave woman living in Beijing. Cave woman as being technologically behind. A Luddite that has an inherent suspicion towards technology. And I have all those accounts.
You have all those accounts.
Yeah.
You're just not that active.
I'm not that active. So, therefore, even I have managed to get involved, then I suppose in first-tier cities and second-tier cities, to some extent, it's just going to be super hard to find a new user. So one way is actually these days, e-commerce giants, they're reaching out to lower-tier cities, to counties, and if Wi-Fi touches that corner in a county, a village, they will try to grab that user. But those users are vastly different as opposed to the very tech-savvy urban users, I suppose, although I think there's a rapid learning curve that is happening. And for these tech giants, I also see what they're doing is that they're partnering up with a traditional brick-and-mortar giant that has sort of lost some influence during this the past 10 years of the tech and digital revolution that's taken place in China. And just now, Liming mentioned Suning and some of the other names.
大中国媒.
Yeah, and they're like a blast from the past. But now they're also teaming up with the e-commerce giants. And I suppose there is a big challenge that needs to be addressed. That is when big companies try to, they're not merging, they're just working together. Mm. There's going to be a lot of data that needs to be shared, and there needs to be this sort of service connection that is being established. And it's really easy to have hiccups in between. And with all this shared information and data, that could sometimes be an issue too. So it's quite interesting that this is happening, but is it going to ultimately cut cost and streamline, make the whole experience and process more efficient, which I assume is what these big companies are trying to do, is going to be possibly a determining factor to the success of new retail or not in the future?
Oh, I think it certainly made people's life much easier for those people, especially for those who rely heavily on online shopping. Because I keep bringing this up because I've been a constant user of this service called 每日优先. So it's literally translated as Daily Fresh. I mean, this is an application you go for fresh produce. Nowadays, they promise that if you are a member and you place an order on the website, on the mobile application, you can get whatever you've ordered within an hour.
Oh, wow.
So, and the last time I used it, I got it in 15 minutes.
How expensive is it, though, with the delivery?
Well, I wouldn't draw that comparison because, you know, when you're lazy, there's a price to pay.
Well, it's good that you bring that up, Liming, because if not, then because there's got to be someone who's footing the bill.
Mm.
There's no free lunch for convenience and, you know, just lazying in bed and just clicking some buttons and icons.
I think it has a little bit to do with the type of shopper, too. You know, I was reading a consumer survey by a Retail Dive, a U.S.-based magazine, and it mentioned that rural, you know, people who live in rural areas tend to want to, you know, are likely to go to stores. I mean, regardless of all of the service that's available now, you know, undeveloped or underdeveloped logistics and delivery infrastructure and, you know, rural areas are likely to come into play here. But, you know, a lot of them often feel that, you know, taking the drive, you know, about 71% of the, you know, people in the survey mentioned that they consider it more, you know, in-store shopping like an event or, a time investment. So that way they get, you know, whatever it is that they want right. Because, again, like I mentioned earlier with, you know, shopping online, sometimes you can order something and the advertisement looks so gleaming and beautiful. And then when it comes, it's, you know, it looks expired or if it doesn't fit. So I think it's, you know, for these group of people, it's definitely better.
Mm. And there's latest news that came in that some of these tech giants with the Hema, for example, like this supermarket, that somebody has complained that, you know, expired goods were delivered. I mean, there's some mix up with what's being delivered. And with these things, I'd like to think that it's a mix up with data, but that will certainly affect the user experience. And these days, user experience rules, apparently.
Just don't grow too fast.
Mm. Well, you've heard it from the man, Liming. You're listening to Roundtable